This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
You have to be strong in today's world.
Strong.
Keep your focus and
up.
What you believe in, how to achieve all your dreams.
Hey.
Keep moving forward. Never accept less than who you are. Live your best life.
Hey.
Be strong and free. It's the Hit Back.
Hey.
With Nahasha Black.
Hey.
It's the Hit Back.
Hey.
With Nahasha Black.
Hey.
It's the Hit Back.
Hey.
With Nahasha Black.
Hey.
It's the Hit Back.
Good afternoon, Bahamas, and welcome to The Hit Back. I'm your host, Nahasha Black. It is a beautiful day here in the 242. I hope that you are doing well, taking care of yourself, and living your best life today. Well, it's Wealthy Wednesdays, y'all. You know, of course, one of the things and themes of the show is that we always got to talk about money. All of this talk about politics, and you broke, what's the point? All you're doing is hoping that politicians put in policies or hire you so that you can make some money. We have to focus on our own success. This is not something where someone is going to die and leave you something in a will. We're not good at estate planning, but that would be nice. I'll tell you that right now. But we are people who have to be intentional. Wealth doesn't come. First, a lot of us will be first generation wealthy or second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh generation mediocre. You determine what you want to do. And we wake up with an intentional mindset to be great every day, to beat the odds, to not live based on the limiting beliefs of our family and friends, to not believe that the circumstances which we were born will be the circumstances by which we die. We are better than that. We are masters of our own destiny, even when life throws curveballs. There are farmers who can tell you there are seasons that ruin their entire crop. But do they quit the farming? Nah, they may choose a different location or choose a different seed. But sometimes you just need to adjust and pivot. And so what we do on Wednesdays, the point of Wednesdays is to ensure that your mind is always thinking of your personal success. Get your mind right. I actually am excited about this, my segment for Wealthy Wednesday today. We're talking with the Small Business Development Center. We're talking about funding, how to get that process. We've got Felice Bethel and Ken Ron Brainin. And I want to make sure I get all of their wonderful titles right, because we got like fancy people on the show. You know, it ain't the Hit Back if the folks ain't fancy, right? Felice Bethel, Head of Advisory Services, and Ken Ron Brainin, Ken Ron Brainin, Senior Advisor for Pre-Funding. So I'm pretty excited to have them both on the show. And so I don't want to waste any more time. Let's get to it. Ladies and gentlemen, all the way from wherever they are, Felice Bethel, how are you?
I'm doing great, and it's a privilege to be in your space this afternoon. I'm a great fan of you and your show and the work that you do.
Oh, man, listen, you laid it on thick. I like you, Felice. You're right.
And okay.
Then, of course, we have Ken Ron Brainin, slide over right there, just a little bit. Ken, don't worry, I'll fix that. There you go. You ain't got to go nowhere.
Perfect.
We got you. Welcome.
Hi, good afternoon. Good afternoon, Nahaj. It's a pleasure to be here.
Listen, it's a pleasure to have you both on the show with me. I'm feeling smart already because y'all look smart, and I feel like I got this down now. I'm ready for my small, my let me stop talking fool, because I always say I'm going to do this, then I do it yet, you know. I'm ready for my SBDC funding package for my vacation rentals. I say this every time. I say this
really?
All the time.
What,
yeah.
What stops you from just, you know, doing it?
I don't know. I feel like that, and I'm glad y'all here. Because I really need y'all.
Okay.
And that's why I wanted you guys here, right? To mm-hmm. really baby step me. I know people listening, right? I always just have guests on for me, right? That's an open secret.
Okay.
That I want to learn, and I hope that both you, Felice, and Ken Ron can help us understand how do we access, right? Dispel all of these myths and notions. How do we access funding, right? So that's important to me. So I'll start with you. And actually, either one of you can start, and you tell me how you wanted to start with. But let's talk about it. SBDC and what is provided, first of all, for anyone who's just new to listening, what is offered by SBDC? And Felice, I'll let you go first.
All right. So in a nutshell, SBDC, otherwise known as Access Accelerator, we help entrepreneurs throughout the Bahamas to fund, launch, and grow their business. And we have many strategic partners to help us do this, like Bahamas Entrepreneurial Venture Fund, Bahamas Development Bank, Royal Bank, Fidelity Bank, Royal Caribbean Cruises, the U.S. Embassy, and many others. Ken, Ron, anything you wanted to add?
Yeah, of course. And as far as it goes with the services that we offer, we offer clients like a one-stop shop of solutions and services to prepare them for the road toward funding and even beyond that. So one of the things we do, and one of the key things we do, is actually provide clients with sort of a mentorship program where we actually take them through educating them about the core ethos behind being an entrepreneur. So understanding what it takes to run a business, what are some of the disciplines involved with that, helping them to come up with financial plans and planning and understand financial planning, to actually bring their businesses to fruition.
Yeah, no, and I'm glad that you guys said that, because that's entrepreneurship. Okay, so we have this thing. If you're just tuning in, Ken Ron Brain and Felice Bethel, both from SBDC, joining us on the show. We're talking about the funding process. But before we get to funding, you got to get through the process, right? The idea being fleshed out, right? You're making sure that it is a viable one that can give you return. So there is a process before you get to the funding process, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Exactly. Who's going to take that one first? Because I love the I want to know more about, because I know you guys do coaching. You develop, there's a development side. So take us to that first. Help me with the coaching idea.
Okay, so when I first started with SBDC, I was a consultant who worked with clients to develop their business plan. So that was pretty much the starting point. And literally, we started with a blank sheet of paper between me and the client. And I'm just asking, how are you going to serve and improve your community while earning a profit? And it's a very simple question, but it helps to steer their mind towards what is the ultimate goal of an entrepreneur. It is to serve and improve your community and generate a profit while you're doing that. If you don't know, if you don't, you know, create your financial projections, how do you know that you're going to generate a profit? If you don't have a community in mind, how do you know the customers who you're targeting, what it is that they value? Do they value quality versus price? Do they value convenience? And so the step of completing those blank sheets of paper, helping them to define what their business is, what their mission is, the products and services that they're going to sell, helping them to figure out what the right price is. And that's a science that a lot of people don't get right, because sometimes what we do is we look at a competitor and figure, oh, they're charging $5. I can charge $5. But sometimes you have to evaluate a competitor based on their size. Maybe because they're buying in bulk, they can afford to sell the product at $5. And so if you're not able to buy in bulk, then how can you differentiate yourself from that competitor? How can you add more value? How do you become more innovative? And so it's a very necessary process to answer a whole lot of questions, do a whole lot of introspection, observing customers, observing the competitors, and then finally, condensing this information in, I would say, between 25 to 30 pages, because a lot of times people think that their business plan has to be 100 pages long, but really and truly say the most important things to demonstrate business viability in 25 to 30 pages. And then once that is completed, then Ken Ron's department would take over with the credit committee review, and he can walk you through that process.
Yeah, and before I get to you, Ken Ron, and I know you have a thought to add to that, I, I wanted just to hit on something that you said. If you're just tuning in, we have a dynamic duo joining us here from the SBDC, both looking very dapper. Well, Kenron, very dapper. Felice, very beautiful, I might add. Everyone looks great. You see, I dressed up for y'all too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I dressed up. Felice, sure, you can just low budget. But anyways, so what you said, something very interesting, Ms. Bethel. You talked about pricing as an art. Right, there's a science to it. There's a science to it, and that made me smile because I don't know if you guys remember when with this 99-cent breakfast man. Remember, better one because the 99-cent breakfast, they killed it with the price, right? If they dropped that so low, no one can make breakfast at 99 cents. So it then came back to the normal to $3.50. Right? All of a sudden, tuna and grits could no longer be 99 cents.
Exactly.
But we look at it with the DVD option. You remember back in the day, you had to spend for these DVDs $5 for one DVD, or was it $10 for a DVD? Something odd like that. Mm-hmm. And then everybody started selling DVDs. And they competed only with price, right?
Exactly.
Well, of course, we could bring in the fact that streaming happened, but that's not the point here. What happened, though, was that everyone competed on price. And that is something I find that we do a lot. We don't think about value. As much as we try to compete only on price or even a strategic sales strategy that can, even though your product may still be cheap, you can create a brand around that product so that you can charge twice or three times as much. When you both, and I know you're with advisory services, Ms. Bethel and Kenron, I'm sure you can add to this as well. Mm-hmm. What is the mindset of the entrepreneur when they come in that you find is one of the greatest things or challenges that needs to be corrected? Because I think, I don't know if we understand pricing or understand product or have an idea of really many times what we want to accomplish other than make money.
Kenron, you can answer and then I'll chime in.
Thank you very much, Felice. I think one of the biggest takeaways that I have a lot of times when I interact with clients is simply that they are thinking far too small. So they look at their business as a small enterprise. And while it may be small today, what we try to do as we go through the process of building a business plan and a lot of the other exercises that we engage in is trying to get the entrepreneur to see their business as a big thing, that it is a big deal. And I think that is one of the core takeaways that we hope for them to kind of take from our conversation with them and to kind of integrate into the idea that they're building, that it's not small. It's not something that you want to be here for the next 10 years. How do you add not just value, but from a more functional dimension, how do you add products and services that can serve the community, but also serve your core goals? So finding synergy with ideas, finding synergy with products. I think that is one of the big things that we come into contact with.
I like that. They think too small. Go ahead, Felice.
And I want to chime in because at the other end of the spectrum, you have entrepreneurs who come with these grand plans. And typically, I would try to get them to think about growing in stages. So maybe you don't need to start a business that you haven't. Yes, it's viable on paper, but practice or reality is another thing. So maybe you don't need to start off with a $500,000 loan and buy all this equipment. Maybe you can start with a $100,000 startup funding. And you can buy equipment to get started, generate sales, and make sure that customers are going to support your idea over a period of time. Because in the Bahamas, you know, there are lots of instances where we start with a big buying and you have these long lines of customers. And in a few months, those customers disappear.
Yeah. And so, I wait for the next fad. Yes.
Exactly. So you have to find the balance between starting small and starting between small and large, but somewhere in the middle that gives you the potential to test and grow.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, more with Felice Bethel, Kenron Brannon from the Small Business Development Center. We're talking about getting funding, getting your idea from that conceptual space to where it is funded and that you can begin to really build the dream that you want to have and get the hell out of this rat race. You're listening to The Hit Back with Nahaja, Black Guardian Radio. We'll be back right after this.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Loss of family members is very isolating, and people who have experienced loss appreciate when others have shared their grief. If you can't be there in person, go to the Nassau Guardian's website online at thenassauguardian.com and visit our obituary link. The Nassau Guardian's interactive obituary link allows you to read the funeral announcement, express condolences, or place photos on the online guestbook for one full year. Losing a loved one is painful, but that pain isn't the worst thing to happen. Friends, loved ones, colleagues, and neighbors who ignore the loss compound the pain. Should the bereaved family wish to place the obituary and photos on our obituary site, just contact the Guardian's funeral industry partners or the Nassau Guardian. Remember, there isn't one magic right thing to say to someone experiencing loss that will make the loss less painful or easier to bear. The Nassau Guardian's obituary link, available online at thenassauguardian.com.
Do you know you can get your business cards designed and printed for as low as 18 cents a card? If it's a poster you want, you can pay as little as $6 a square foot. If your print needs are short or long run, digital printing, wide format, or print consultation, call the best. Call Printmasters. Printmasters' goal is to provide its clients with the highest level of personal, professional service at an affordable price. Our state-of-the-art technology also makes working together efficient and easy. Laminations, business cards, flyers, posters, window and floor decals are just a few of the digitized print services offered at Printmasters.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
Listening to The Hit Back with Nahaja, Black Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. It's Wealthy Wednesday, y'all. Are you excited to be rich? I'm always excited. I like saying it out loud. It feels weird sometimes because this is my quiet stuff I say to myself. And y'all be getting all my quiet confessions every day, y'all. I always thinking about how to get out of the rat race. I'm telling you now, I won't be able to vacation like Beyonce. But then I'd have to probably marry someone who's not as good looking. BJ, you know, then my husband would catch feelings. So, no, I'm good. I want to welcome on my guests today on the show. We have Felice Bethel joining us. Felice, of course, is the head of advisory services. So she's like fancy schmancy. She's super smart. She has the big title. And then we have Kenron Brannon, who made sure that I couldn't call him Brennan because he spelled it differently. And he is the senior advisor for pre-funding, both of which are joining me on the show today. I hope you guys don't mind. It's Wednesday, right? It's hump day. So yes. Everybody's a little extra as we start to get to the weekend. But I'm so thankful that both of you are here with us. So we're talking about, of course, the SBDC and the tools that you guys have to help Bahamians to move towards a level of financial success or business, entrepreneurial success, right? Mm-hmm. And we were discussing right before the break how, there's a mindset shift and some businesses or entrepreneurs thinking of themselves a bit too small and others are too big. So some want to start the three-phase Atlantis, but don't want to do phase one first. They want to do one, two, and three. And then others are wanting to be mom and pop, where the potential is to step out of that space. So then you see these types of interactions and you see these types of clients. Explain to us, before we get into the steps of funding, how do you help them course correct the mindset? Because I can give you money, but if your mind ain't switched, you're going to misuse the money, or mm-hmm. you're going to find yourself frustrated with the process that demands a certain level of thinking, a certain level of discipline, a certain level of understanding. How do you guys counsel? Because I feel like this is a lot of, like, you know, business coaching. How do you counsel people? Boy, can't run, mother will open up. Why are you ready for that? I was like, a minute. Tell me, Mr. Brayden, how do you counsel them?
I think one of the core things is remembering that this is a one-to-one exercise. So, you know, a lot of times when clients come through our doors or come through the onboarding process, we have to kind of sit with them and get them to see the real vision of what it is that they need to do. And, you know, there is a lot of hand-holding around it. Because the other thing is, and it may be an unfair comparison, but it is similar in a way, the same way that a doctor needs to bring a baby along with its mother through the whole process of bringing a baby into this world, it's the same thing when you're bringing someone's idea from just their imagination into manifestation. So, you know, there's lots of conversations, there's lots of coaching, there's lots of, you know, I guess repackaging of ideas. So it's a very, very one-to-one and involved process that, you know, we are careful about how we navigate.
Yeah, I like that. I like how you said we're careful about, right? Felice, you wanted to add something to that?
I'm not in, I guess, one-on-one, as many one-on-one interactions with clients. But when I started, I was very unconventional. So what I made the writing process, the writing of the plan, a collaboration between me and the client. And that's to make sure that they understood the level of work that goes into planning for a business. You have to double or triple that when the business actually starts. So during the planning process, there could be nights where me and a client are working on their numbers until 11 o'clock, 6 a.m., we're back at it again. And, you know, if I think they're falling asleep, I would call and say, hey, this is no time to sleep. What's happening? So I really demand a lot from clients during that planning phase and not allow them to feel as though I'm simply going to give them the ideas. I come to meetings more with questions than with suggestions. Have you thought about this? And what are you going to do with this? And how? And just watch and listen to how they make decisions. And as you see them maybe processing a question or processing a scenario, not necessarily in the best way, you can steer their thinking and get them to a certain mindset so that when they make decisions, when you're not there to coach them and whisper in their ear, they have a certain way of looking at things and responding.
Let me ask a question here, and actually someone actually asked it before I could. Sorry. Does the SBDC assist with the business plan for free? And I find that a lot of folks, they kind of get tense when it comes to the business planning. We've never done a business plan before. Like you said, some think it's 100 pages worth of information. I don't know how to do a futures forecast on my business. You say I have to do 5 years of a projection. How am I connecting those dots? What am I projecting it against? How do you wish for me to view my competition? Man, my product don't have no competition, miss. What you talking?
That's a common thing. You hit the nail right on the head.
Very, very funny. So then how do you, is it a free service that you guys offer in the coaching process? And then how do you help people through in terms of understanding the process of a business plan?
Kenron, that's your domain.
Yes, ma'am. So the answer to that question is kind of two-pronged, right? So in the first instance, there is an option that a client can take should they decide that they want to write the business plan themselves. So of course, we have, and when we get into talking about the process, we can kind of explain the way that that would work. But should the client indicate that, look, I don't know how to write a business plan, but I'd like to try it out for myself, that is an option that is available to them. And what we have built into the program is a process of review where we have internal team members that actually have a look at the business plan and provide feedback to that fledgling entrepreneur related to what it is that they would have produced. The guide rails to that particular approach is that there are classes that the prospective entrepreneur would take that kind of prepares them to go through the production of a full-length business plan. And then, of course, on the back end, we will go ahead and provide them with the feedback necessary to finish that business plan. So essentially, it's free. They don't pay anything out of pocket, but of course, there's sweat equity that they have to put into the process. Yeah. On the other side, the second prong is that we have built into our program approach, which we call the Business Plan Writer Program. So essentially, if a client comes and they say, look, I do not have time to go to school. I need to get my business plan done today as quickly as humanly possible. Get me a professional to write it for me. We have the program, the Business Plan Writer Program, allows them to get access to a professional writer that will write the plan for them on their behalf. And the SPDC will cover up to $500 of the cost of developing that business plan.
Oh, wow.
So they will have
that's
to
a lot.
Pay, of course, but all things considered, it's a considerable head start in producing something that's going to create wealth for generations to come.
Yeah, no. I mean, you're going to pay up to $500. That's a lot. And maybe I miss how much business plans cost, because I'm thinking that y'all, that should cover the cost of my business plan. No, unless it's one of those corporate strategic deep.
And that's the thing. So Kenron, you would say that not all business plans are created equal, because a plan designed to raise $100,000 versus a plan designed to raise $500,000. The $500,000 plan may require more work. So there are some instances where a professional writer may charge more than $500. So in that case, we will cover the $500, and then the entrepreneur and the writer will agree on what the difference would be.
Sorry, I'm already intrigued, right? One day y'all should invite me so I could walk through the process. I need to see this process in action, because it is very interesting. So then let's get to it, right? Let's get to understanding the process, and we will get the numbers and emails for persons as we get further into the discussion. Right. Let's talk about this process of funding, right? Because of course, you guys know, you hear everything, man, I put in my application, and this happened, and this ain't happened, and I still hoping, blah, blah. I've heard it all. I won't lie to you. I feel like I've heard it all. And I've also heard a person said it was a breeze, right? So there are there is a spectrum.
Right.
So walk us through it, please. And Felice, I see you first. Go ahead.
Yeah, so based on what you just said, I think what happens a lot of times is that entrepreneurs get focused on one door. So that one door is the standalone grant. But we offer funding through many other doors, such as the fishing and farming grant, the preschool grant, technology grant, Royal Caribbean loan and grant, our guaranteed loan program. So there are many doors that entrepreneurs can access funding. But if you're just going to be stuck at one door, then, you know, you may run into delays or situations where you don't get approved because, you know, maybe 5,000 people applied for this one program. But if you are to if you look at the other doors where, you know, people aren't necessarily gravitating toward, and you have to ask yourself why, because the standalone grant is $5,000. The fishing and farming grant is $50,000. And so I think we just need to be more diligent in you know, keeping our hands at the pulse. And when these funding programs are launched, taking advantage of as many programs that's possible. So
you just said something, $50,000 for the farming and fisheries. Say that one again.
Yes, it was $50,000. Yes.
For which grant is that?
The fishing and farming grant. So
I can.
Right.
Go ahead.
So
no, go ahead.
So throughout the year, we offer, you know, various programs, and a lot of them are for limited time periods, obviously, because, you know, you have, I guess, funding allocated for different programs. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. I would say consistently throughout the year is our flagship program, where entrepreneurs, through which entrepreneurs can access $20,000 in grants, $500,000 in loans, and $250,000 in equity.
Ooh, hold on. Let's take a break. Child, that was, you hit all kind of words there. That was like ministry. And we had to hit some things there because I noticed behemoths like to own 100% of nothing. Y'all need to focus and learn about this equity now. You're listening to the Hit Back with Nahaja Black, Felice Bethel, Ken Ron, Brainin. We will be back right after this.
J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, we've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.S. Johnson Insurance has the best. Always, you're always covering me. J.S. Johnson Insurance, peace of mind.
When I had got prostate cancer, my family didn't know if I was going to live at Cancer Treatment Centers of America. Within days, I got an appointment. They presented me with treatment options, and they set up a robotic prostatectomy. When my scans came back, there are no signs of cancer. They don't see you as a number. They see you as a part of family. I'm going on with my life. It's a real gift.
Call us at Cancer Treatment Centers of America.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
It's the Hit Back, hey, with Nahaja Black.
Hey.
It's the Hit Back,
hey,
with Nahaja Black.
Hey.
It's the Hit Back,
hey,
with Nahaja Black.
Hey.
It's the Hit Back,
hey,
with Nahaja
and
Black.
We're back. You're listening to the Hit Back with Nahaja Black. I was told I need to refer to this as the Access Accelerator or A Squared funding. Y'all just changing up all the talks now. I should have gotten this lingo long time. But I am here for it, and I'm happy because, you know, this is business. Y'all sprucing up yourself. I like it. So Access Accelerator, and you gave me an alliteration, even worse, right? But I'm so excited to have you both on. Felice Bethel, Ken Ron Brainin joining us. We're talking about getting funding from the A-Squared funding, this A-Squared funding process here on the show. And I like how you mentioned, Felice, right before the break, the different options, right?
Yes.
That you have equity funding, you have different grants, and not to get locked in. The equity, I must say, I don't know why we tend to shy away from equity funding. We don't. What is that?
Well, I think we've heard a lot of horror stories of people who got in business with their friends and, you know, things just didn't work out as planned. But with our program, we don't pair you with any, you know, investor off the street. We actually have a strategic partnership with the Bahamas Entrepreneurial Venture Fund. So the $250,000 in equity is coming through that organization. And, you know, yes, a lot of people are usually very tense until we explain what the terms are. And some of the special terms that they offer is, one, your business is only required to pay dividends if it is profitable after the third year. So for 2+ years, you don't have to pay any dividends. And they're only, the stipulation is that, okay, once the business becomes profitable in the third year, you can start to pay dividends. Number two, you have the option to buy back the shares in 5 years from Bahamas Entrepreneurial Venture Fund. So if you don't want the investor relationship to continue beyond 5 years, you can simply buy back the shares. Three, you have access to partners with diverse industry knowledge, experience, and connections. And hopefully most entrepreneurs understand that strategic partnerships are critical to their success, because you can write the business plan, you can get funding, but in order to get those big contracts, sometimes you need somebody who already has a lot of credibility behind them to help you even to get in the room to have that discussion.
Someone asks, what if the business becomes profitable before the third year? And I'm thinking they're talking about an out clause or whatnot.
So if the business becomes profitable before the third year, still there, if you choose to pay dividends, you can, but there's no requirement that you have to pay it before the third year.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's good. All right. So then let's pivot now. Let's talk about this process, because of course, all of this, and we haven't gotten to the process, right? So the step-by-step, the play-by-play. So it's just an introductory conversation of it all. Let's start on this. What is the A-squared process for funding? And I guess, Kenran, you will lead that discussion?
Yes, I will. I will. So essentially, when the client comes through the door, they would, first of all, go on to our Access Accelerator website, go to our Join Us portal, and actually begin the actual initial onboarding to get access to the program. So they'll fill out the required information there, tell us a little bit about themselves and the business that they want to establish, as well as giving us some other ancillary details. So once they're through that part of the process, and we receive, in addition to that, one of the most important things is that should they have a business plan already, they will share that business plan with us as a part of that process as well. So once they would have done that, the next thing that happens is, of course, we'd have a clear idea of what kind of assistance the individual would want, and some of the other, you know, details around the business. But once we have that, the next step is for them to be interviewed by one of our representatives. Mm-hmm. So that representative will kind of walk them through the whole idea that they have for this business that they want to launch. After that conversation, having been informed by that conversation, along with the requested service that they want to take advantage of. So if they want to start at the educational phase, if they want to just get their business plan reviewed, or if they want a business plan written for them, that request along with that interview will set them on their course through the program. So what that interview does is it gives us a clear understanding of where this person is in their whole mindset and approach to entrepreneurship as a whole. So while you may have a business idea in mind, you may not have it clearly fleshed out. And there may be a need for you to kind of go back to the drawing board, kind of define some things about that. And we will actually help you with that through our educational portal. And I got to go back and correct something that I said. The person with the business plan does not necessarily need to go through the interview process, because of course they come through the door with the business plan already constructed. We can go ahead and have that business plan start the process of review. Their feedback or conversation would be with one of our internal reviewers that kind of look at the plan for its integrity, making sure that all the principles that are needed and necessary to form a functional business plan is available in there, and so on. So that individual would not need to necessarily go through the same interview process as the persons with the other two requests. Mm-hmm. So going back, if the client needs to start at the educational pathway, we kind of talked about before what would happen. We take them through a system of educational pathways, depending on what it is they want to do. We kind of have them come out at the end after having gone through them and produced their business plan, and they end up at the same point as the person with the business plan already at the review phase, where someone is looking at their plan and determining how viable and how strong the plan is. And likewise, the individual who has gone through the interview process that wants access directly to a business plan writer will get exactly that. They will be sent a link to fill out some application form, well, not an application form, but a request form, They choose the business plan writer that they want. And then thereafter, we assign them to the business plan writer of their choice, who then in turn produces the business plan for them. And then in the same way, the review process begins. Hmm. So once they would have gone through that process of review, and assuming, well, not assuming, when they go through that review process, the end result of any review process, except for situations where the client decides they want to opt out of the program, the end of every review engagement is a functional business plan.
Okay.
So we have some internal measurements that we use to determine when a plan is functional and done. There's an acid test that we use. And once the business plan is, by our internal definition, viable, we then put ahead to our internal credit committee process. And Felice mentioned that a bit earlier. And that credit committee process is actually where they go under the microscope.
Huh.
And they present their business along with their business plan in tandem with my team. So the reviewers, we have
So they're not going in alone. They're going in with your team, with support.
They're going in with the full support of the analysts of the SBDC supporting them.
Yeah.
They present between 5 and 7 minutes on their business.
So is it like a kind of going into Shark Tank?
Very much so.
I had a feeling. It felt pretty Shark Tanky, right?
Very much so.
Which is good. I think if you cannot, and just for the record, I'm loving this process because I'm visualizing the process now and understanding it a bit better. Because if you cannot defend or push your project, then it's really not, you're not ready yet. You're not
right.
Ready.
And Nahasha, you picked up on a very important thing. There's one thing to present your business proposal, and there's another thing to defend it.
Exactly. Right. You have to. And it's interesting you use the word, Kenron, functional, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, like they say, mouth can say anything and I can put anything on paper.
Uh-huh.
Does it go through its sort of own rigor of math, that this business plan to say, okay, the projections show that this is actually viable. What we're looking at isn't just words on a paper. This is an actual strategic plan that, if executed, will bring results. Of course, everything has its risks. Everything changes. There are your incidentals. But that's what we determine as functional, right?
Exactly.
If you can flesh out.
Exactly. Because another part of the credit committee process is the meetings themselves, and this kind of is a little bit more granular than maybe I should say, but the meeting process is actually an hour. And the first half an hour is dedicated strictly to the client, their presentation, and strategic questioning from the committee members. So none of the committee members are members of the pre-funding team. So those credit committee members are persons that are financial services professionals in some instances, persons that have sufficient acumen to get into the nitty-gritty of the presentation that's put on in that business plan. They actually have access to the business plan a few days in advance of the meetings. So they're fully apprised of all the details that go into the development of this particular business. So once the client does their portion, it's then up to myself and my team to then provide further analysis or defense for the client's business plan. So we defend this. So it's not just the client that has to put on a defense. Some of the more technical or technically directed questions are put to myself and the other team members after the client would have left the meeting environment. So we very much have to be acquainted with the numbers, but also have an understanding of the way that the business is supposed to work functionally, and also be able to justify, defend, and make some rational conclusion in some instances for the committee members.
One small bit I want to add there too. If claims are made in the business plan saying, okay, my products are currently in super value, for example, and I need this funding to expand and go to Solomon's Fresh Market, credit committee members will actually go to the store and verify that your products are being sold in super value. So any claims you make in the business plan, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, The credit committee members are going to not just take it at face value, but actually go and confirm that what is stated is true.
Okay, we'll take a quick break for news. It's amazing how quickly time flies, right? So when we come back, we'll be joined again with Felice Bethel, Head of Advisory Services in Kenron, Brainerd, Senior Advisor for pre-funding for the Access Accelerator, and their many options, grants, loans, equity, all of these things. I can't remember, but all of these options here. And some other questions, too, with regard to the process as we move along. You're listening to The Hit Back with Nahaja Black Guardian Radio. We will be back after this.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
You have to be strong in today's world.
Strong.
Keep your focus and
up.
What you believe in, how to achieve all your dreams.
Hey.
Keep moving.
To the Hit Back with Nahaja Black Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, everybody. It's Wednesday, hump day Wednesday, but beyond that, it's Wealthy Wednesday, y'all. Time to figure out how to get out the rat race. Every day, propelling yourself to your financial freedom. It is not an idea or an ideal that is above you. We must be intentional with our pace and our space on this planet, man. Y'all got to believe me. I don't do this stuff for fun, you know. I mean, I do. But I don't do this just because I need to fill the hour. It is very intentional these Wednesdays. And so I want to, you know, money's out there. Y'all just need to know how to access it. So the people at Access Accelerator, so you see how I played that? Kenron, Felice, y'all saw how I made that work? Yes, that's why. This show is the bee's knees. Obviously, I'm not working with humility today.
Oh, wow.
It's not my thing today. Felice Bethel, Kenron Brainerd, joining us from Access Accelerator, trying to help us, you know, everyone figure out how to access these funds that have been set aside for Bahamians to either grow their business or build that dream or help it to be seen. So we're talking, and, you know, during this break, I was talking so much, I forgot where we left off. So I'm just going to jump in somewhere else, unless you guys remember. But where we kind of ended off, this is my last memory of it, is in our discussion of this process of funding, right? So we're talking about doing the business plan, then after the business plan, going in to see the Bahamian Sharks, right? It's not that bad. I don't, for those who just came in, they're really, literally not bad people. We're just now defending this business idea and working to the funding process. The question I wanted to ask you, Kenron and Felice, that process between business plan writing and getting funding from, you know, and defending this idea, how long does that normally take?
Felice?
Yeah.
It depends on you. So, for instance, the plan writing process can be, I would say, 4 to 5 days. If you come to the table with clear thoughts and direction as to where you want to take the business. But if you're coming to the table with a vague idea, and you know, a lot of things have to be worked through to get you to the point where it's clear the direction you need to go in. That can take a few weeks. Sometimes it can take longer than that. So it depends on how ready you are when you begin the conversation with us. And once the plan is written and submitted for review, then, you know, the goal is on the first submission, you want this plan to get reviewed by Ken Ron's team and to receive an 80-point rating from the first jump. Once your plan meets that standard of quality, then it will go to the credit committee. Credit committee meetings are every Friday. So let's say your plan gets reviewed on Wednesday. Friday, you can actually be presenting and defending it to the credit committee. The credit committee has about 2 business days to submit their votes. So within a week, you could be receiving a letter from them saying you're approved to move on to the next step, which is sending the application to the bank. Once the application is sent to the bank, I've seen at least 2 of our funding partners, they respond within a week or 2 weeks to say, yes, no, we like the idea. So it really depends. Like I said, if you come to the table with a clear idea and direction of where you're going, once that plan gets submitted for review, it can be very quick after that.
Kenron, you wanted to add anything?
No, Felice.
Oh, that was good. That was pretty concise.
Yeah, she captured it.
All right. So now there's the, now we're going through this process. How do folks, of course, we know that they go to the Access Accelerator website. They go to the website first. Give us the website URL, please.
It would be www.accessaccelerator.org.
Yeah, yeah. You can see Ken Ron. Ken was like, I know it's something to the end. Okay. So it's accessaccelerator.org, right?
Org.
Right. And there's a question of, is it just for startups? If I have an existing business and I want to expand my business, where are we?
So 77% of clients who've been approved for funding are existing businesses. So clearly, you know, it's available for startups and existing businesses.
Why do we see such a, and that's interesting because you said that, but why do we see such a low percentage on startups?
Well, the percentage is based on approvals, and you know, the concept or the test of business viability is more easily proven with an existing business than a startup business. So startups tend to take a little bit longer in terms of getting their funding approved. And, you know, because sometimes people want to see, okay, I want to see how you do the first year before I inject $100,000 or $500,000 into the business. Whereas an existing business is coming to the table with historical financials that says, hey, in the past 2 years, my business has generated $200,000 in sales for the year or $2 million in sales for the year. Mm-hmm. And therefore, people are more quickly to jump on that because you have a track record.
Mm-hmm. And do you find that more of those types of loans and go into the startups? Because, of course, I would think, too, that the existing business can show if you're, listen, if I have a foothold here, I may be small, but there is room for growth. I just don't have the necessary capital to take that
exactly.
lead. So you can look at historical data and mm-hmm. you know, numbers and make that. And that's a quicker decision. Understood.
Exactly.
For those who are starting, though, is there any sort of extra key to it? Because I can imagine you're going through the business plan process mm-hmm. and you go to defend it. Mm-hmm. And there might just not be an appetite to start with a new business, even though the idea is interesting or the idea is something that's possibly viable, because I've heard people say, listen, I met the requirements, but I still didn't get the approval. Some right. people in startup are trying to figure out what does it take to get that approval.
So I guess I'll take that one. One of the things that's key to garnering the interest of a financial institution is in the first and the easiest fruit to get is having pre-existing arrangements in the marketplace. So if you are if you're selling apples, if you have a client that buys out your weekly supply of apples, or someone who is willing to commit to buying your weekly supply of apples, and they're willing to sign a letter of intent indicating that, then you are definitely more attractive than the person right. who's searching for their market. The mm-hmm. other thing is being able to leverage other strategic opportunities in the marketplace that your business can take advantage of. So if you are a fisherman in one of our family islands, and there is an opportunity to not just fish, but also do some sort of aqua tour where you take visitors to your island, tour of the area itself, and also them going ahead and taking advantage of doing some actual fishing. So you're leveraging two opportunities with using essentially the same equipment and so on. So with a startup, understanding what your market is, understanding the products and services that are able to be leveraged in a single place so that you can maximize your return is definitely a key thought process that you need to go through. And also being able to clearly define who this market is.
Yeah. No, and I think that that's important too in the grand scheme of things, knowing who your market is and all of that. Someone says, you know, and if there are, because there are some folks have some concerns, and then why I bring this up is because I get a lot of questions.
Uh-huh.
You know, a lot of concerns that folks may have. Say, listen, well, I tried this, it didn't work, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Is there a space where there is prompt response that you can tell folks where to go to, that you can answer these questions that they have? A help desk, where can folks go with this, with their level of questions or concerns?
Yes, we have a help desk. You can send an email to our help desk, and the address for the help desk is helpdesk at sbdcbahamas.com.
Yeah, well, you made that easy. Helpdesk at sbdcbahamas.com. All right, let me ask you this. Devon asks, what is the process for the grants we've gotten through? We've done that process. Is there an age limit or range for a grant? What is the minimum and maximum amount of the grant? And that's I'd love to take that one.
Okay, so different grant programs have different thresholds. So standalone grant had a threshold of 5,000. The preschool grant had a threshold of 25,000. Fishing and farming, like we said earlier, 50,000. Under our flagship program, it's 20,000. Now, we haven't mentioned it yet, and I want to highlight that in addition to our flagship guaranteed loan program, right now we have a funding opportunity on the table for entrepreneurs in the tourism sector. You can access a grant up to $7,500 and a loan up to $7,500 with only 3% interest. And if you're an entrepreneur in the tourism sector on the island of New Providence, Grand Bahama, and Barrie Islands, you can apply. So if you provide souvenirs, accommodations, car rentals, tour experiences, or entertainment for domestic and foreign tourists, you can apply for sufficient funding to renovate your office space, purchase liability insurance coverage. So now you can do business with the cruise ships, step up your marketing campaign, purchase small tools and equipment, nice. Supplies or packaging. There's so much that you can do with little, but you need to hurry and apply at accessaccelerator.org.
No, I like that because I, you know what, and I'm glad you brought it up because there are these special opportunities here. And I like that you said you can do a lot with a little and you can do a lot more with it as well. We have to, it's amazing how quickly time flies. We have to do this again because there's so much more we haven't gotten to. Because I would like to do also a show where we talk about the successes, about some of your testimonials of things that have, you know, clients have gone through and have done well in the process, right? Because I don't want the negative narrative to stop people from accessing this money.
You love this word now.
This is not a word, you know? This is not the word. Because I want folks to access this wealth. This is, it's there. And I don't, you know, and I said, that's one of the things that I really did appreciate with the last administration, setting this up. This is a good thing. This is a very good thing. And so we want folks, go ahead, Felice.
And just to say how many people have accessed funding through Access Accelerator. To date, we've helped roughly 2,000 entrepreneurs access $71 million in funding. And 53% of these approvals were New Providence. So this clearly demonstrates that funding is available for entrepreneurs on the Family Islands. Businesses owned by women account for 49% of approvals. So women are applying for funding to start or expand their business. And the top three industries that were approved for funding are food and beverage, construction, and professional services.
That's excellent. One last thing. Someone asked about this, the waitlisting mode. Is the website on a waitlist mode?
Okay. So I can actually take that one.
Yeah.
There was at some point a waitlist that we had before the access to the website. Mm-hmm. But to date, we have addressed the waitlist issue. We have been reaching out to clients and trying to, as a part of this engagement here, and also some of the other things that we've been doing, trying to draw back or get those persons that were a part of that group of persons to kind of come back and re-engage with us. So if they were to come back now, they will get access to the program, and that is something that we have taken in hand and we have addressed.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. Accessaccelerator.org. Everyone, please go to the website. We'll have more from these wonderful people in the near future. Felice Bethel, Ken Ron Brennan, thank you so much for the time and for your energy. And, you know, I wish I had coffee to give you.
Oh, wow. Thank you for having us. It was, you know, it was a tremendous experience, and we're looking forward to being back at some future date.
Indeed. Thank you guys so much.
Thank
appreciate you.
All right.
You're listening to The Hit Back with Nahaja Black Guardian Radio. When we come back, British American Financial, and guess what? I've got a stellar gentleman joining me to talk about all of the wonderful things that BAF is doing, and I can't wait to have him on the show. He looks very dapper indeed. You're listening to The Hit Back with Nahaja Black, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We will be back after this.
You have to be strong in today's world.
Strong.
Keep your focus and
up.
What you believe in, how to achieve all your dreams. Keep moving forward. Never accept less than who you are. Live your best life. Be strong and free. It's the Hit Back with Nahaja Black. It's the Hit Back with Nahaja Black. It's the Hit Back with Nahaja Black.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
How important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
And we're
are back. You're listening to The Hit Back with Nahaja Black, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Everybody's Wealthy Wednesday. I hope that you enjoyed that earlier segment with the Access Accelerator, the Small Business Development Center, really wanting us to fine tune and find ways to get funding. But now we want to switch gears, not from the Wealthy Wednesday idea, but actually British American Financial. Y'all know I like to talk about this book called The Wealthy Barber. One of those books that I did not appreciate early in my reading it, my first read. I did not like this book. This is a slow way to wealth. Like, it's a slow way. Who talks about insurance, about estate planning? Ain't nobody got time for that. You know, when you're young, when you're young and you think you're, you know, you just could speed through everything. But I'm actually kind of, this was perfect, actually, perfectly timed that BAF and Mr. Flowers will be joining us on the show to talk about some of the things that they're doing over there at British American Financial. And I want to welcome him on the show. Hello, Mr. Flowers. How are you?
Hello. Thank you. It's good to be here. Thank you very much. I'm great. How about yourself?
Well, I can't complain. I've got, you know, some superstars on the show today and you being one of them. So
I'm happy to be in good company.
Well, I mean, I'm only as great as my guests. I'll tell you that now. Mr. Flowers, man, thank you so much for the time. And for, you know, choosing the show really to be a space where we talk about some of the things that British American Financial has been doing and wants to do within the community. And so I want to, again, tell you thank you for choosing us.
Thanks for having me. And thanks for having BAF.
You know, let's talk a bit about just off the bat, you know, what makes BAF different? Because you guys are pretty different. When I say different, it seems more community. It seems more us, but it's the first part is British, British well, American. What well, makes you different?
Well, you know, when you look at us, we are first of all one of the Bahamian-owned companies here in Bahamas. We are run by young Bahamians, young, energetic, who are full of ideas and is very vibrant in our thinking. Bahamians, of course, and we provide products that is to meet the consumer demand from the, what do you say, from the cradle to the grave, all ages, all financial phases of the Bahamian population be able to assist in their financial needs. So that's one of the things I think that makes us so different, and we are consumer friendly.
Yeah, you know, and I'm glad that you said it, because it is one of those things where you do feel as if, even though it's a company that's been around for a while, it does feel as if somehow in the recent years, it has taken on a different energy, right? A more involved and present energy.
Well, I think it has. As you know, from 2007, British American was fully Bahamian owned. So you had a new group of, a new leadership team. And of course, what we want to do, we don't only want to say, well, we like Bahamas there. We don't only fly there. We live there. We want to make sure we reach out to all the entire Bahamas. And I think we did that. We came up with new initiatives such as products like the Barrett Society, the final expense and the rest of that. The Topaz medical plan, all of that stuff to meet all level of demands as it relates to the public, the population of the country. And so we were very active in, of course, community donations. And we did things that kind of reach out to our people. We want to be fully a part of our people in the Bahamas here. We did our endeavor best that we took the same mantle throughout the entire Bahamas.
You know, of course, as I think every insurance or agency such as yours, right, in the past few years from 2019 to now has seen the insurance industry, you know, take on its own levels of challenges in the Bahamas in particular. So we're talking about from Dorian and then from the pandemic where we saw closures and people losing insurances and insurance companies trying their best to help folks stay with their policies. It's been a very much a season of pivots, right? Yeah. A season of adjusting. They're trying to adjust and compete and still stay in business at the same time, but helping folks. Tell me a bit about that, Mr. Flowers, from the BAF vantage point. How have you guys tried to assist and still stay corporate?
Well, first and foremost, what was most important to us is the retention of our client base. And we also took into consideration, understood clearly what was happening in the global society. And from an economical standpoint, where businesses were closing, persons were being furloughed from their jobs and couldn't afford to pay their premiums. So our first initiative as a leadership team, we wanted to make sure that we made provision that if persons were not able to pay their premiums in full, they were able to pay a portion of it. And we can work with them in making sure that they keep their account. Because, you know, we understood that sometime persons who would have purchased insurance 10 years ago might have actually accrued some illness now and not able to qualify for insurance. So we didn't want to take the chance of them losing their coverage. So we work with them in regards to paying their premium. That is true, the cash value might have been accrued, or whether they are able to come and pay half the premium, and we work with keeping the account going. We also provided a program for the accounts that was lapsed. We created a program for those accounts that person can come and pay on installments to get the insurance back up to par. So yes, we understood where the economy was. I guess we kind of suffered a little bit in regards to new sales. But our most important thing as a company, we wanted to make sure we retained the clients that we had in BAF, and we did our endeavor best to make sure we met, try and work with our clients here in the Bahamas.
Well, of course, now, you know, if you're just tuning in, Mr. Dashiell Flowers joining us, British American Financial, joining us on the show. You know, one of the things that was interesting for even for myself, Mr. Flowers, is that, of course, you're trying to manage this as the end user. You're trying to manage what is the thing that I can let go of, right? When your finances are stretched and you're trying to figure out what is the thing to let go of.
Well, absolutely.
And in this season, it was definitely didn't feel like insurance.
No, but you know, we found out even more during the pandemic, especially one of the most significant things in your lives that you needed was insurance, whether it was life insurance, health insurance, or some general insurance. We also made an avenue possible. You could have, I guess, decreased the amount of insurance and kept some level of coverage, because the amount you had prior might have been a bit much to pay. The premiums might have been difficult to meet. And so we were able to work with you. So we beg you to actually come and see our sales representatives,
okay,
and talk to your agent and say, okay, listen, I can only afford $40. I'm accustomed to paying $120. How can you work with me? We were willing to reduce the amount of coverage.
Wow.
Kept some kind of coverage for you as a client. Like I said, our priority during this whole process was the retention of our client base and to make sure we did all that we could do to assist them. That was important to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, I think it's one of those bigger moments too when we are looking at it as a nation, as the world, and how we can be our brother's keeper. And yeah. I know one of the big concerns during COVID, at the peak of it, with insurance and COVID, was that, hey, listen, you know, insurance companies won't cover you if you get COVID or if you get the vaccine, and something happens to you, your insurance coverage company won't be there for you. And BAF was one of the first insurers to say that's not the case. But just to say it out loud, tell folks about, you know, some of those misnomers or those issues around insurance and COVID.
You know, the rumor mill is one of the most dangerous mill there is in the global society, actually.
You're right.
However, we find ourselves allowing to take the best part of us. If you are vaccinated or not vaccinated, it doesn't prohibit you from getting insurance, nor life, nor medical. Now, I'm sure the other competitors are doing the same. There is a COVID form that has been produced by insurance companies to find exactly your status on whether you had COVID or if you've not had COVID or if you had the vaccine and if there was any adverse effect. But that by no means prohibits you from getting insurance. No means whatsoever. No. That is just not feasible, because you're looking at insurance companies probably will suffer more because the entire world just about had COVID.
You're right.
So how do you say to a population, if you had COVID, we can't cover you? That means companies will not be around for too long, right?
Yeah.
Having the vaccine or having COVID doesn't prohibit you from getting life insurance, and it does not affect the premiums. Only if there's some other illness that you're experiencing or suffering, there is an avenue of rated premiums. But COVID, having COVID or not having COVID, or the vaccination, doesn't by any means, Nahaja, affect you from applying or receiving coverage.
Well, let me ask you this, and I'm happy that you said that. I'm just curious. Now, my curiosity has been piqued, right? With, you know, because I ain't gonna lie to you, I didn't have to fill out that form because I already had insurance, so I guess they didn't need me to answer it. I'm curious though, what is the purpose of the form of saying if you had COVID or not, or if you're vaccinated or not?
I think one of our major is I guess information gathering, and of course we do not insist that you get the vaccination. We are actually encouraging persons to get it, as we are encouraging our employees to get it. We're not going to direct them to get it, but we are encouraging them to get it. So it's like an information gathering, system, but it doesn't have any major effect on your getting coverage.
Excellent. Now, there's something so interesting. There's this talk of long COVID, right? Mm-hmm. And I know of young people who have had COVID and they've had serious illness. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, they had the trach tubes in, they were in intensive care for a substantial amount of time. These are young men and women who had this level of, adverse effect. Does your insurance cover, will it continue to cover even under this conversation of long COVID? Is that a lexicon or a language that is now being used in the insurance industry?
I don't know the terminology long COVID. Mm-hmm. I've heard you have long-term effects from the COVID.
Right.
So you have, I personally know of some persons who are presently going through the same situation. If they presently have insurance, from my knowledge, that doesn't affect, you can't cancel their insurance. Okay. Now, in a medical insurance, you might have a limited maximum amount, which you might utilize all of that. It's a different story, but we can't cancel your insurance if you have long-term effect from the COVID, if you already have insurance. You can't do that, okay? In applying for insurance, if you have a long-term effect, whether it's kidney problem or some other issues, now that's a different thing altogether. Mm-hmm. An insurance company has a right to look at that differently.
Yeah, and something else that is interesting too, knowing that many companies have had to pivot, if you're just tuning in, Mr. Dashwell Flowers, by the way, Mr. Flowers, can I tell you I love your first name?
Thank you very much.
Love it. Just side note, totally had no reason to say it out loud, but I just wanted to say it.
Okay.
But, many companies have had to pivot, right? And this is why I like, just talking with executives at, major companies, many companies have had to sort of pivot and adjust or learn on the fly ways to figure out COVID-19. And one of the things that you mentioned was, hey, premiums, really giving room to your existing clientele, if need be, to reduce their monthly payouts. But in terms of just overall how you've done business, what is BAF, how have you adjusted or pivoted on how you've done business in the time of COVID?
If I had to say, I would commend the staff, the administration staff, led by my colleague, Deborah Parker. I think that we have done an excellent job in pivoting. We quickly put into play a process of paying premiums online through the buying credit card. And we also created a cash app, which allows you to put money on the cash app and pay your premiums. We have also made it easier for you, so you don't have to come out. And of course, like you said initially, when COVID came along, nobody knew what to do or where to go, how to act. So you had to actually, think very fast, but you were thinking and hoping that it works initially.
Exactly.
And I think we did that. We accommodated our client in regards to paying the premiums, paying the bills, and the cash app provided an opportunity to pay your bills, whether it's the cable Bahamas and all of those stuff, policy, premium, all of those could have been paid through the bill. So you don't have to leave your house. We did that. As for our sales force, we encourage them to work, of course, utilize the Zoom or go to meeting where they talk to their clients in regards to their coverage or conduct an interview. We also have persons that work from home remotely, and some are still doing that, work from home remotely, and clients are able to contact them. So other than the fact that you could not come into the building with BAF, nothing stopped.
Excellent. And I think that that's the thing that I was impressed with in this pandemic for many businesses in country, you know, and even the bigger ones, because we kind of in country think the bigger ones tend to move slower than yeah. smaller ones, right? Because of the size of the company, the size of the staff. How do you move from more paper to more digital and swiftly? So you kind of anticipate that that process would be slower. But I was very impressed with how quickly companies such as yourself began to pivot in that extreme. How did you know, and how do you, as a corporate, as a corporation, and I'm always, again, leadership stuff, this is interesting to me.
Right.
And and forgive me, because I know this isn't what you didn't come here to talk about all of this. But whilst I got you, I okay. figure I better learn, right?
All right.
In the corporate shift, in the corporation and leadership shifting, what is something that comes to your mind in terms of strategy as a leader, as an executive, that is a philosophy of how you run the business in your particular area?
One, you know, the one thing that we must understand, the environment that we live in, the from a global perspective, and you know, just for a second, the Bahamas actually is now catching up to almost the rest of the world in regards to the automated process. What we did is we try to be agile. You know, we try to be agile in our thinking, and you have to be. Actually, you have to have that ability to lead. You have to wear be prepared to shift your leadership cap any day, because you never know what tomorrow is going to bring. I think there's about 13 to 14 different caps you can wear in leadership, and you could wear all 14 of them in one day if you're not careful. That's the environment that we now live in. And you know, again, to congratulate my colleagues, my MD, Mr. Morley, and Julian Rowland, Deborah Park, and the rest of us. Rest of us, we moved very quickly. There was no hesitation. There was no question of what we needed to do. We were agile in our thought process. We pre-planned, actually, because we never knew exactly what tomorrow brought to us. And we want to make sure that whenever tomorrow comes and whatever happened tomorrow, we were equipped to deal with it. And I think overall, the executive team did an excellent job in transitioning to a new day as it relates to the post-pandemic we did an excellent job on that. And so we made sure our staff was prepared. Of course, my agency force, we quickly got them in the position that we have to do things a little bit different. We're looking for this, basically the same results, but we have a different approach to it. And we were very quick in doing that. Okay. And we were very open to it.
I like the word agile, right? I mean, I love that you're hearing it a lot. And the agility, the necessary ability to pivot, flexible thinking mindsets and structures that are able to bend and not break, and you know, just really begin to move in that waters that you're in. So I'm excited about that. I want to take a quick break. When we come back, Mr. Flowers, I'd like to talk to you a bit about some of the offerings of BAF. And you know, since it's a Wealthy Wednesday day, also, I'd like to ask about you guys got anything where I can, you know, through the use of your service, I can be multiplying my returns?
Oh,
I can
definitely.
Do my estate planning and all that good stuff.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I can have somebody come and see you and make sure that at the end of the day, if you die too soon, your family's taken care of. If you live long enough, if you live long enough, you'll have sufficient cash that you can live comfortably to the lifestyle that you're accustomed to living.
Let's talk about this on the other. I know. I just want to hit on that on the other side of the break, because I like this book, Wealthy Barber Taught Me.
Uh-huh.
Don't disrespect insurance, boy. I think that there is something to it. I have this one question to ask you on the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Hit Back with Nahaja Black, Guardian Radio. We'll be back after this.
With Nahaja Black. We'll be right back.
Burger King Nassau is taking spice to new heights with the new Baja Whopper and Baja Crispy Chicken Sandwiches. Enjoy your choice of a flame-grilled Whopper or crispy chicken filet topped with chipotle sauce, guacamole, jalapenos, cheese, lettuce, tomato, all on a fresh potato bun. The new Baja Sandwiches at Burger King Nassau pack plenty of flavor, and with an ice-cold Pepsi and fries or onion rings, it's the perfect way to fill your day. The Baja Whopper and Baja Crispy Chicken Sandwich are only available at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
When I had got prostate cancer, my family didn't know if I was going to live. At Cancer Treatment Centers of America, within days, I got an appointment. They presented me with treatment options, and they set up a robotic prostatectomy. When my scans came back, there are no signs of cancer. They don't see you as a number. They see you as a part of family. I'm going on with my life. That's a real gift.
Call us at Cancer Treatment Centers of America.
Back, you're listening to the Hit Back with Nahaja Black, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Okay, so we've got a special guest joining us, VP of Sales, the one and only Mr. Dashwell E. Flowers, joining us on the show. And you know what, Mr. Flowers, I got to make sure I got that title right. It is VP of Sales and Agency Development, right?
Vice President of Sales and Agency Development, yes.
That's right. And I apologize. This is where my flaw comes. Writing these things down. But I'm happy that you're joining us with and from British American Financial. And I must admit, I have a soft spot for because I have family insurance with you guys. So there's a soft spot, right? Like, yeah. just throw that out there.
We appreciate the business.
Yeah, man, of course. So now that what is interesting to me, you said something, right, that... at going into the break that I think is fascinating and very good to discuss, where people talk about, I've been trying to get my listeners to get, understand, talk more about estate planning. Something I heard that was kind of upsetting to me in a sad way, not in an angry way, kind of disappointing, I think is a better word, was during this pandemic. I remember I had a caller one time and he said, listen, if I die, I die. Right. And I think we're talking about the vaccine or not taking it or taking it or something. And if I don't take it and I get COVID and I die, that's my business. Right. This virus is going to take out who it has to take out. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, I said, OK, that's a philosophy. Mm-hmm. But do you know that a household that loses its the man is finding itself in, you know, 3-4 times more so in disrepair of collapse, economic collapse? So I wanted to say, okay, but you dying isn't easy. Do you have great insurance? Because it's an economic, that's an economic decision. You don't just say, if I die, I die. Who needs you? And I find that we as Bahamians don't plan as much as we would like to, even considering, just a thought before I let you ask the question, we don't consider that insurance can pay for our missing person. So if you get a good insurance, how much you make in wages, a good insurance can cover that for a certain period of time so that you're not missed. Well, not missed. You will be missed as a human being, as a spouse, right. But financially. We don't look at insurance as some way as protection for the people left behind or as protection for when we retire. We just kind of see it as, y'all want my money when I dead.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but we face it often. I think sometimes we don't give consideration, like you say, too, that even when we have ceased from this world, we still have a fiduciary responsibility to leave for our children or our grandchildren or our wife or our families some kind of income. And while nobody looks forward to death, but it's inevitable. And of course, if the breadwinner of a family dies, I've seen where the breadwinner of the family dies and the dignity of the family is destroyed.
Yes.
Because
yes.
They have to sell
it as well.
They have sell the house or all of the any property or car because daddy died or mommy, who was the breadwinner, died, left nothing to sustain the family. And we've got the silly thing as Bahamians, and I would say, we got the silly thing as Bahamians that, you know, they don't bury me for sweetness, they bury me for stinkness. That is just, to me, an asinine statement. Okay. because it is our responsibility. You know, if we leave a better world than what we met it, we have done some right. They said, if I could help one as I passed this way, then my living would not be in vain. So when a father dies, he's got a son or a daughter who wants to go to college, or who ain't finishing school, or a house that is unpaid for. All right. And you might say, well, oh, I'm dead, I'm done. No, you still left a representative of you here. So it's important for you to make sure that if you are to pass today or tomorrow, that the house is paid for and there's still some funds for the family to live off and the child to go to school. And we will miss you. But I always tell people you will miss more when they say, boy, you know, had it not been for Dashwell, I wouldn't have had this. But when you depart and you left more trouble behind than what you was when you were alive, I beg, and the one thing I would have done with the executive, we want to educate the Bahamians on the significance of insurance, like all of the stuff that we went through in the last year with the pandemic. We had some hundred and something death claims. But the reality of it is that there was no funeral homes having sales on caskets.
None.
As a matter of fact, cremation went up. All right?
Wow.
In some cases, people were burying two of their family members at the same time.
That's right.
Okay? And so if you can put away your family, whether it's your mother, your father, your brother or sister, and still have some funds to take care of those bills, not that you'll be happy you're dead, but you would have made the contribution. You would have continued to contribute to the state that you tried to build while you was alive. And too many of us believe and don't take insurance serious. You know, because there comes a times in our lives that we look for three poison, a priest, a doctor, and an insurance man.
Mm-hmm.
We want to see those three persons at the end of the
day.
And we got to make sure, and I'm glad you asked the question, there are too many Bahamians just not making preparation for the future. Had your great grandfather died and left you $1 million of life insurance, wouldn't you be a step ahead?
Man, listen, two or three steps ahead.
We're always starting, and
I'm glad you said that, Mr. Flowers, because it's each generation, it gets harder and harder, more expensive every generation. And we find in most Bahamians, we are left with a generation starting from scratch.
Absolutely.
Because there's nothing left. And actually worse than scratch, because I can tell you, my father and my mother, in their time of working, got more done with the money that they had.
Absolutely.
And I'm making more money than they are when they were that age. But the dollar value, its purchasing power is less. So each generation is finding its challenge financially and economically. And every generation should have a step up, right?
Absolutely.
Should be given a hand out from their parents or their spouse. And personally, this is not me trying to sell insurance. This is me trying to tell you that insurance needs to be bought.
Absolutely.
You have to consider this.
You're absolutely right. And I beg, you know, you don't have to, you might can't afford $1 million of life insurance. That's fine. But get your foot in the door. Start some kind of estate plan in regards to your children, your families, and the rest of it. I've seen situations where families have to get together to solicit monies to bury a loved one. That shouldn't be happening in a country like ours. All right, we can provide you insurance from $10,000, $5,000 a month. I mean, $5,000 benefit. We can provide you insurance. We got the burial society. We got the final expense plan. We got so many products that we can sell that is affordable to you at BAF.
Mm-hmm.
That there's no reason why everybody in the Bahamas shouldn't have some kind of coverage.
Yes, and I like that. One of those things that I hope that we also get a chance to discuss, if it's not today at a later time, is how do we use, because of course, insurance is also used as a financial tool, right? Mm-hmm. It is used as a tool. Like I said, I know of certain products, I don't know if we do that here, where, like you mentioned, okay, listen, your spouse, one of the two of you, either mm-hmm. one of you makes $50,000 a year.
Right.
The other spouse makes $23,000. You're
right.
Combined, you know, per annum, your debt is somewhere in the middle in terms of mortgage and expenses.
Mm-hmm.
If we lose one, you're kind of screwed, right?
Your income, your house is then short of $50,000 income.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's only one way to replace that. Either you have the capital in the bank or you have insurance coverage.
That's it.
That's it. Okay.
That's it.
And the thing about insurance, and nothing against the banks. My good friends work in the bank. But the advantage with insurance, if you go to the bank and you put in $10,000 and you die next week, all you get is $10,000. Mm-hmm. You come to us and you pay us $150, $200 a month for $500,000 of life insurance. If you die next month, natural causes or whatever the case, or accidental causes, you get $500,000. So I get to build an estate for you, while you $500,000, and all you give me is $400 so far.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where else can you find such a good deal?
That leveraging.
That kind of return. Yes. Nobody, the bookie don't even give that kind of return.
And there's a contract with this return,
there's
right?
A contract, and I am obligated to adhere to this contract. So in all of the talk shows I do the opportunities, I beg the Bahamian population, especially after this pandemic, to please take the idea about insurance seriously. Mm-hmm. Okay, and understand the significance of having medical coverage or life coverage. Because I've seen persons hospitalized, and of course I'd be paying thousands of dollars. Mm-hmm. Please. I understand, you know, if you can afford $20 a month, come and see a representative at my office. We can find something that's going to accommodate your $20 per month.
Wow. Oh, wow. That's actually fantastic news, because one of the challenges people have is saying, listen, I don't have $120. I don't have that right now.
Absolutely.
We're in tough times. You're saying that BAF, British American Financial, will help where you are, because that's, you guys are trying to get Bahamians where they are.
Exactly. We will work with, I have representatives who will be happy to assist you, to accommodate you, and we can find you a life package where you're paying $20 a month a premium to provide some kind of coverage for you.
Yeah. And what's the and you know, of course they can call or contact
yes, you can call the main office, 461-1000. If they, the receptionist will then of course direct you to somebody. If not, feel free to ask for me. I will make sure that you are taken care of.
Yeah, you know, and I think it's so important. Someone asked a quick question before we go. Should one have a life insurance all through their life, or should we have something like a term life insurance?
Well, it depends on what you want insurance to do for you, which my representatives have been trained to ask. What exactly are you looking to have one insurance to do for you? If you're 18 years old, you might decide that you want to get some cash return at the age of 40 or 50. Then you might purchase a different insurance. But if you want to say, okay, I can acquire a mortgage at age 25, the mortgage is going to be about $500,000. Then you acquire time to age 100 to accommodate the mortgage. You have that, or you have other options. But we do offer time to age 100.
That's actually pretty good. If someone asks, is that with a medical exam or without? If we're working with us,
well, you know, if you have it, it will be with a medical exam. It depends on the age and the requirements. But the requirements, yeah. the requirements will vary. It varies based on the age.
Okay, and you know, of course, any questions, you said they can call the office. I got someone who says they're with you. I'm putting that name right there just to make sure you know them. Say they work with the company.
Oh, I got an idea who that is.
But you know, Mr. Flowers, I want to thank you so much. It's amazing how time flies. But I really do believe that there needs to be, my mind on insurance has changed so much over the years because of knowledge, right? That I remember when I was younger, I used to say, man, listen, man, these insurance companies, they're just taking your money from you. And all I need is medical because I'm trying to stay alive. But not understanding how important it is, that estate planning side, that
absolutely.
Leaving and ensuring that everyone is taken care of, everyone who matters to you.
It's
right?
Called the retention of dignity, family dignity.
Oh, that's good. We have a term for it now? I like that. That's good.
Yeah.
Mr. Flowers, thank you so much. Dashwell Flowers, Senior VP at British American Financial, joining us on the show. Thank you so much for the time. And again, the numbers before we go?
461-1000.
And anything you want to add before you leave?
Well, first of all, again, I want the Bahamian populace to become even more aware of what the need for insurance, take it serious, and our responsibilities that we are expected to leave something for our families, our children, or our families to make sure they retain the dignity and the lifestyle that they're accustomed to. And I just want to say thank you to the Bahamas on behalf of BIF and its entire executive and board of directors.
Yeah, listen, thank you guys for just being there, that stickability, the agility as well to pivot where we need you to, because Charles, I use in all of them services you mentioned earlier. Well, thank you.
Feel free to come and feel free to give me a call, and I'll make sure that you are lined up with the right representative. Not a problem.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. All right. That's Mr. Dashwell Flowers joining us. It's a Wealthy Wednesday, y'all. I must say, and I continue to say it all the time, please really go ahead. Call your financial representative. These things like insurance matters, and COVID has shown us that. We got to go. You're listening to The Hit Back with Nahaja Black. Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. We are out.